Morning.
Morning.
Got it. So, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. This is the meeting of the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners, and this is the application review committee. And we are all here today to review applications for licensure. I don't see the agenda. There's the agenda. Okay. On the website. So the time is 7:36 a.m. and I will call this meeting to order. Ms. Folks, would you like to do the roll call, please?
Yes. Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Caterino?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes. Entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I second it.
Okay, so I guess I made the motion. Ms. Dr. Caterina seconded it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We can now move to item number 4. Item number 4, we have several categories, but I do see Dr. Luke Bigler on the line. So we can go ahead and do which is item B. We can do Dr. Bigler's application. If you give me 1 second, I can open my right file. And Dr. Bigler is examined licensure. He reported an incident in 2005, but there have been no further instances, so I don't have any questions. He got his CID in clinical psych, Argosy in 2020.
I think it was the Chicago school.
Yeah, he kind of moved. It was Chicago and Argosy, sorry. He submitted pre-internship hours for over 1,000 hours. He did a 2,000-hour internship. Everything else seemed in order. I didn't have any problems with his application. And I appreciate you being here, Dr. Bigler, but Dr. Caterina, if you don't have any questions, I think we're going to be forwarding this application to the full board for approval for exam and license upon passing.
I do have one question, but it's just my lack of knowledge. He does not have an Arizona residence. That does not matter to take the test. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, then I have no questions.
Yeah. The residency is...
I'm not coming back. I'm just on my postdoc here in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, It doesn't matter. We do not look for residency. The only time we look for residency, Dr. Caterina, is the universal license. That's the only category they're verifying residency.
Okay. So then I move that we accept his.
Okay, Dr. Bigler, you're welcome to stay on the line, or you may leave. It's your choice. But we had no questions.
I will leave. But thank you both for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Dr. Malott, also, when I originally saw this meeting, I thought it ended at 9, so I have to leave at 9.
We will be done.
Last night it was 9:30, and I'm sorry.
My goal is to be very efficient, and I think I have a record for that. I got everything done in 20 minutes.
How wonderful. Great, yeah. Thank you.
But no, this is a little big agenda. It may not be 20. I won't be
21.
I won't beat my record, but but I think we've got a very clean slate of applications, so I don't think it's going to take us too long. I only had questions on one application.
Me too. Yes.
So let's get started. I've used the new process this time. I created a little Excel spreadsheet and So
I filled out those forms that you gave us.
So what we'll do, Dr. Catarino, is we'll go back and forth. Or sometimes I may just do the whole category if it's a short, quick category, and then or we go back and forth, and I'll invite you to share. Okay. So the first category, we'll jump back to A, is requesting approval to sit for the EPPP. We have two candidates, both requesting permission to sit for the exam. One is Dr. D. Giovanni and Dr. Gallegos. Dr. Giovanni, D. Giovanni got her doctorate from Clinical Argosy Chicago. She did her postdoctoral at, her degree has been posted. She did her internship at Southwest, and everything looked in order. And Dr. Gallegos similarly did his doctorate, a PhD in child clinical psych from West Virginia University. His degree is also posted. He did an internship at the Children's Hospital in Phoenix, and Phoenix Children's Hospital. Everything else seemed in order. Did you have any questions on either of them?
No.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to move them to the full board to sit for the exam. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We can move to the next category, which is requesting approval to sit for the exam and licensure. The first candidate we have is Alexandria Curley. We sent her a request to submit additional hours for supervision. She was missing for pre-internship, missing about 4 hours of supervision. She submitted new logs, new a pre-internship form, and a letter verifying that she does have the 4 extra hours. Those were hours that she had not counted. Since everybody has verified and signed, I'm willing to accept those hours, and then her application is ready to be approved. Did you have a question on Dr. Curley?
Yes, I saw the letter from Dr. Corbin, but on the original form, I wondered if they should go back and change and add those hours.
They submitted a new form.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't see a new complete form, just the letter. So that's why I questioned it.
Let me look. I thought I saw.
There was a letter explaining it, but then the form had these that I saw had the pre-internship old hours without that extra supervision. I just thought maybe to make it cleaner, but it may not matter.
I don't know. I'm seeing a new one, so but maybe not. If you look on, they canceled. If you look on page 26, it changed it to 44.25, and they submitted that. But maybe he needs to sign that form. It's on page 9. So they did submit. Do you see it? So here's what we can do. I do see a new form, but it's not signed. And I know things are a little more challenging these days because everything, you know, even. So if Dr. Corbin can just sign it so we have it for the record, that page 9, Kathy, that would help.
I will send it to him. This did come from Dr. Corbin directly, that email on page 4. was how it was sent, and you're correct, it is a new form, and I see that there aren't signatures on any of the site pages.
Yeah.
So I'll have him sign those.
Yeah, just on that page 7-9, I think. If he just signs and initials the things that he cut off and put the new hours, you know?
Okay.
So it's good for the record. Are you okay with that, Dr. Carolina? We cannot hear you. You're on mute. Dr. Caterina, you're on mute.
I've asked her to unmute.
Okay, got it.
Okay, we didn't hear you.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I think that was my concern. Those forms did not have a signature, so that's fine.
Okay. Okay, so the next one is Bridget Henry. Do you want to do, this is exam and licensure?
Okay, so she has a degree in clinical psychology from the California School of Professional Psych. She had 1,876 pre-internship hours, 204 supervision, 204 internship hours. It is an APA program, the internship, so all the specific hours weren't listed, but I assume they're correct since it's APA. And then she has 240 from postdoc. So I was okay with that. She wants to take the EPPP. So I think I would be fine.
And you saw, I read this some time back, and I know there was one of the pre-doc missing, but I know Ms. Folks added information. So I see the first one for 842.
I have a pre-internship. I had 1876 total.
Ms. Folks, I don't see the second one added. I only see one form. I see the one for 8842.
Yeah, on page 29, there's a postdoc for 240 hours. If I'm remembering
correctly. Oh, okay, so together it's okay. 842 plus 240. Even though she listed the second one, she doesn't have it. So
yes, if I'm remembering correctly, the hours did not meet our requirements, and either direct hours or.
So she didn't submit that. So
yes,
okay,
correct.
But she's good. You're right. So okay.
Okay. So should we vote on her?
No. We'll do it at the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the next two, I'll go ahead and do it. They're both the next. We've already done Luke Bigler. So the only two left are Karen Cheney and Mariela Soto. Both of them are reapplications. They have taken the exam before and did not meet the required passing score. This is their first attempt, so the applications were approved previously. I don't see any need to re-review their applications, just approve them to sit for the exam again.
Right. And just to clarify for me, they don't need the study training plan.
No, they do not.
After they have taken it three times.
Yes, that is
correct. Okay, then I was fine with this.
Okay. So going to this category, we have five. I move that we approve Dr. Coley, Henry, Cheney, Bigler, and Soto to sit for the EPPP and license upon passing. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are done with that category. So the next category we are going to move to is the temporary licensure and to sit for the EPPP. We have three candidates in this category, Dr. K, Dr. Nichols, and Dr. Jackson. I'll go ahead and review Dr. K, then you can do Dr. Nichols, and I'll do Dr. Jackson. Dr. Keating is applying for a temporary license. She got her PsyD from Clinical Midwestern. Her degree is posted. She did an internship at the National Psych Training Consortium. She has a postdoc training plan and references are in order, no concerns with background, anything. So she's ready to be approved, unless you had any questions.
No questions. She's in progress, my understanding. She's in progress with her postdoc.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm fine with her. Okay, then Eva Nicholas.
Nicholas.
She has a PhD, a PsyD, from Alliant. It's APA approved. She has pre-internship, 1882 hours, 2,000 hours for an internship in Southwest Behavioral, which is APA approved. And then she has postdoc of 1,000 hours, Southwest Behavioral, APA approved. So I'm fine for her to, she has to take the ECCC and then I'd be fine for her to go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to check something on her.
Yes.
I know she's asking for temporary licensure and she transferred to... She submitted all her hours, but she's asking for it because of the exam. Okay, so she's good. Mm-hmm. So okay, and then the last one is Samantha Jackson in this
category. Yes. Yeah, she's a PsyD in clinical psych. It was APA approved. Degree is verified. Dissertation, residency is fine. She has an internship, 1,500 hours, Southwest Behavioral. APA approved. Her postdoc, she has 2,000 hours from NAU. I wasn't quite sure if that is part of Southwest Behavioral or standalone.
No, it's a standalone.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's APA approved.
No, it's an APIC approved site, and so that counts is for her internship. So.
Okay, so then that's fine then. I would approve her.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we move the three candidates, Dr. K, Dr. Nicholas, and Dr. Jackson, forward for temporary licensure and sit for the ECCC. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are done with that category. Our next category is requesting approval for licensure by waiver. And we'll start with Carolyn Brown. I'll go ahead and do her. Dr. Brown already has a temporary licensure, so she has been, already approved by, reviewed by this board. So really, all we are doing here is approving her postdoc and her exam. Her postdoc meets the requirements. She's submitting 1,000 hours and she has a passing score on the exam. So she's good to go.
Yeah, there was a question. She discussed her time in the military, where there were some concerns, but she had a good explanation. So I was okay with it.
Okay. Do you want to do Danielle Veston?
Okay. She has a PsyD from Argosy in 2018. She was APA approved. Then she had internship in Las Vegas in the VA. I believe that's APA approved. She had 2,080 hours.
APA approved.
So. Okay, I thought so. And then she has a postdoc of 1,000 hours, Southwest Behavioral. And she passed the ECCC. So
she's good to go.
I think she's fine, yes. Arizona resident too. Okay.
The next one is Dr. Garrett Blankenship, who's also applying for waiver. I can go ahead and do him.
Okay.
So He's got a PsyD clinical psych from George Fox. George Fox, I know, is an APA approved.
Yes, I looked it up. Yes.
Do we have the transcript in his file now, Miss Fox?
No, I didn't see a transcript. I have a note.
Yeah.
It should have been there. I know I have it.
Maybe it was put in after I looked at it, so I could go back. Because I did him in the first round when you sent it.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Okay, I do see the transcript now.
Okay. And
I see the doctoral degree PsyD confer date of 7/31/2019. Okay, so that's good. Okay. So he's got his doctorate, George Fox. Transcript is there, 2019 is when he earned his degree. He submitted let me just check his internship.
He has a pre-internship.
He did an internship consortium, 2180 hours. And then I see a postdoc for another 2,000 hours. So he meets the supervised experience requirement. And references are good. And so he's got passing scores, so he's good to go.
Okay.
You want to do the next one?
Who's that, Tyler?
Jessica Cohen.
Oh, wait, I got a wrong order. Hold on a second. Here she is. Okay, PsyD from Antioch. Was APA approved. So she had, I was trying to look at this. So she has 336 hours and then 33 supervision. Then she has 86 and 18 supervision, 939 and 128 supervision. So I think that all she had enough supervision and that would be her pre-internship, and then she has her internship at ASU Counseling Center, which is APA approved. So I think that those equal the appropriate amount of hours. She has a passing score. She has already had a license from Washington, so, and they sent a form. So I think she's okay. She does not have Arizona residency, but it doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah, we need to mention that because it's not a criteria.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's fine, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, she's a little, I'm just verifying all her pre-internship. Let me just look at her. Did you see 1,000 pre-internships?
I have 1,461.
Okay.
But I could have added. I have 9. See, because one alone is 939, and then the other one is 336. So, and then there's another little one. So it makes it's over 1,000.
I'm looking for the 919 form. Yeah, do you see the 919 one? That's the one that is...
The 919 as in date or...
No, hours.
I didn't know. I have those three, 336, 86, and 939.
Where's the 939? What page?
I just wrote it down. And then she had 120 hours of supervision on that. So I have to look now what page. I don't know.
Yeah, I had trouble.
939. This is Kathy. Sorry, Madam Chair, committee members. 939 hours is on page 26.
26. Okay. Oh yeah, now I see it. I guess I'm scrolling too fast. Okay, so she's good to go.
Yeah, I think so.
And so that was Jessica Cohen. You're right. I jumped. There's Heather Taylor. Or Tala. She's also applying for a waiver. She got her PhD in clinical psych from University of Texas, Austin. She did pre-doc hours of 1,059 and then 2,000 hours of internship. Both of those look good. Everything else is, she's got a passing score, two references, and I didn't see any problems with that application.
I'm going to ask you, I do have, this is just again for me. So I saw a postdoc, it said 2,080 and 156 hours of supervision. But she only needs 1,000 because she already has the 2,000. So is that okay?
Let me look at it before I comment. So one of the things I do is I look to see what they want to submit. And of course, she left that blank. So, so then I went to her application. So she did internship.
Yeah, I remember she left it blank here and I'm on that page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then she did a postdoc. And she had 2080, and she only needs 1,000 hours.
Right. So then it's okay, I guess, if we only count the 1,000. Right?
Yeah, we can count the percentage that we need. So
okay. So what I was wondering is, it wouldn't be 2 hours a week. You know, that's why
she needs everything, even in the postdoc. Even if you look at her hours, she needs 100 hours of supervision. She's got 156. She needs. The direct contact is 1,200, but that's fine. We have a substantive policy statement. You know, as long as she meets the 600 hours, she needs the 1,000, and then the supervision, we're good to go.
So my question was that it wouldn't be 2 hours a week for the whole 2,000 because
supervision is fine. It's the
direct. That's what I wondered. I know it was fine for the 1,000, but if we looked
No. For 1,000, you need.
Yes, but 50. She has
156 of supervision. She doesn't have.
Right. Yeah. But she has listed 2,080.
Yeah, so you need. It's 50 hours for 1,000, 100 hours for 2,000, 100 and whatever for 2,080, 102. She's got 156. She's well above the 2 hours.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Dr. Catarino, can I jump in? I think the confusion is because this question asks for only the number of hours of individual face-to-face supervision, the individual. And so when you do the numbers, they could have twice this if it was group included, but this is only the individual.
No. But even then she meets it.
Yes, she does.
The math is, to me, that's how I know the math in my head. It's 1,000 is 50, 1,500 is 75, 2,000 is 100. So.
Right. My point is that the individual supervision is one out of every 20 hours. They can have up to, they need to have two for every 20, but half of that can be group supervision.
No. That's for pre-internship. You can't confuse pre-internship with postdoc. Postdoc, it's only individual. We don't look at group.
Right, exactly. That's my point. I think that Dr. Catarino is expecting the full 2 hours out of every 20. And in this case, it's really 1 hour of every 20.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
So pre-doc supervision, pre-internship is a higher ratio of supervision.
Okay.
You're allowed to count group. Internship and postdoc is one for every 20. And there's no group in that one for every 20. It has to be individual. So there are the differences. So
okay.
The challenge actually is not the supervision hours because she meets that without any problem. But the direct contact hours, technically you would need 1,200. But we've run into this problem and we have a substantive policy statement. That if she meets, for the 1,000 hours, she meets the 600.
Okay. All right. And then who's next? Cowan, or no, we did Cowan, right?
Jolene Jacquot.
Yeah. Okay. She has a PhD from University of Texas in 2020, clinical psych, APA approved. She has the transcript, the dissertation, the residency. She has free internship hours of 1,059. And the individual is 115, so that's okay. And then she has 2,000 at Vanderbilt postdoc, and that's APA accredited. So that makes 3,000. She has a passing score on the ECCC. She has a Texas Psych Associates license, and that's it. So I think she's okay.
Okay. Okay, the next one is
Molly
Rachel Foster, I think.
I thought it was Molly Gregan.
So actually it's Molly Gregan. Do you want to do Molly Gregan?
Yeah, so Molly Gregan is a little different because she's from the Argosy, the school psych program. And she has a PsyD in school psych, but that is not APA approved. So she listed all her courses that seemed to me to be okay. So she does have a dissertation, residency, the dissertation, everything is okay. She has an internship is at APIC at Scottsdale Schools, 2035. And then she has a postdoc at Trilogy, 2023 hours. She also has 1,000 pre-doc. So she had the postdoc training plan. She has a passing score. She had references, the query, everything seemed to be okay.
There was one issue I think I saw with her was the date of her references.
Oh, well, you know, they may have been submitted with the first time she applied for the test. What do they have to be?
Not doing a retest, no. Her reference is 2017, so it's more than 3 years old. So we might need a new reference form for her.
I didn't know that. Okay. So where's that?
So that is on page 60 or 61.
Okay.
Her internship supervisor filled it out, and her internship ended in June 2017. So,
okay, well, that's fine. We can just have her do it again.
Yeah, so we need to get a new reference for her.
Okay. Were both of them at the same time?
No, the other one is good.
Okay, I didn't get to that page. I didn't look at the year. Okay, so I'm glad to know that. It has to be within 3 years.
Okay, and then the next one is Rachel Geeta Foster, and she's also applying for licensure by waiver. She submitted internship hours, she submitted postdoc hours, but one of the things we need for the postdoc hours is a postdoc internship. She submitted the handbook.
Yeah.
The handbook actually has a sample of an agreement form, but it's not included. So I think we need to send it back, and they can do it retroactively if they don't have a copy, or we need something, you know, regarding a training plan, because that's required.
So you can do it retroactively?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we would need to send her a letter. So.
Okay.
So going back then to this category, I think we're done with everybody. And I move that we move Dr. Brown, Dr. Weston, Dr. Blankenship, Dr. Tyler, Dr. Cohen, Dr. Jacquot to the full board for approval for licensure by waiver, and Dr. Gregan and Dr. Foster, we need to send them information for additional materials. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's what I have too.
Okay. So do I hear a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We're done with that category. The next one is requesting approval for licensure by credential. We have two candidates in this category. Both of them are applying by the National Register credential. They both submitted passing scores, which is another thing we need to look at, and the National Register credential. Are there other things that they need to verify, Ms. Folks, if they're applying by credential? Other than the, you know, the standard references and all that. Like, do we need to verify their pre-doc, post-doc, or is that part of the national?
Madam Chair, Dr. Caterino, the only thing that the credential itself acts as verification of education and training, because the credential company, if it's National Register, CPQ, or ABPP, they do primary source verification of their education and training. They get the official transcripts. They get verification of their hours. So the board accepts those. So we don't have to have those verified. The only difference in terms of what has to be verified, ABPP and CPQ verify ECPP scores, and the passing level is the same as ours. So those are considered also verification of the ECPP score. The National Register does not, or did not at the time that our statute was written, and so we require ECPP scores for people who are applying by credential with the National Register.
Well, thank you for that great summary to keep it all straight in our head. I appreciate it. So both of them applied for National Register. I did see verification of the exam scores, which was at the passing level for Arizona. So I didn't have any problems with their application.
Yeah, the one person, Steve Gaskell, Dr. Gaskell, the score was in percentage. It was a different way.
But it was over the 70% mark.
Okay. And then he had some history that he cleared up.
Yeah.
So that seemed to be all right then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion that we move.
Wait a minute. I do have a question. Like, this is the one that you don't have to have residency, or you do?
The only one you need residency for, Dr. Caterino, is universal recognition.
Isn't this universal recognition, though?
No, this is licensure by credential.
Oh, I thought it was. That's why I was confused. Okay, got it.
Licensure by credential, which is these are psychologists that have obtained additional credentials post-license. So they've been licensed in other states.
Yes.
And they've had to have a license in good standing, sometimes for at least 5 years. They have to pass additional exams or meet additional training criteria. So it's at a much higher level than what even our board requires, which is why we don't require as much verification. As Ms. Polk said, all of these credential organizations do primary source verification. So the only thing, that's why I wanted her to explain what are the things that we look at. So we don't look to see when their degree was posted or the title of their degree, because these organizations, as I said, follow the highest standards of the profession. So,
I was confused with the credential because to me, credential, National Register was a credential. But that's why I got confused.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
This is all part of, you know, the learning process. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
So I move that we move Dr. Gonzalez and Dr. Gaskell to the full board for approval.
I second it.
My credentials. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are done with category E, and we are now moving to category F, requesting approval of licensure by universal recognition. We have three applicants in this category, and I'll quickly do it so we don't run out of time.
Okay, go ahead.
We have Dr. Counts, Dr. Miller, and Dr. Sipes.
Yes.
All of them have licenses in other states. In Kansas.
Well, one is not current, I think. Let's go back to Sipes later. Okay.
So the first two,
yes.
It was in Kansas and Missouri. Dr. Miller was in Nevada. And let's look at Dr. Sipes. Thank you for catching that. I didn't catch that.
He had a license, but I'm not sure. I think it's not current now. He had a license in 87, but I'm not sure that it's
it is
up to date now.
It says, who's this? Yeah, it expires in 2021.
Okay, well, there was something why I had him down as a question. All right.
If you look at page 8.
Okay.
You'll see the expiration date.
Okay. Well, there's nothing else. There's no concern on him then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where did you see?
I'm trying to recall now. I did this a week ago, but I had some question. But I guess it's fine. Okay. I thought that one of them is something to do with the license. Let me go back to that. Okay. If it's still in effect, then we're all right.
I had a question for Ms. Folks. Do we need to have the National Data Bank check?
Yes.
Okay, so then I did not see it for two of them, Dr. Counts and Dr. Miller.
You had indicated that last week, and I did
added. Have okay.
that.
I didn't.
I've added it.
Okay, I see it now for Dr. Counts and I didn't go back and check. Sorry, Ms. Folks. So.
No, and if I can say thank you very much for telling me ahead of time
I see that.
I remember, I figured out what my concern was. I remember now. So he said that he was licensed in 87, but the form they sent said that he was licensed in 2020.
So the board will verify the most recent date of license, like every
day.
The license expires every 2 years and you have to reapply. And
okay, that's what I was confused about. That's it. That was what I wondered about.
Yeah, so he put the date he was first licensed because that's how the question is worded.
Yes.
So.
And I didn't realize that. I thought also that was the date that was first licensed. I didn't see that. Okay, got it.
Okay. So that's the difference. So
that was my question. All right, I'm all right then.
Mm-hmm. So all three are good. I want to move Dr. Counts, Dr. Miller, and Dr. Sipes to the full board for licensure by universal recognition. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. So we're done with the review, and we're done with the this criteria. Item number, let me go back to the agenda, which is item number 4. We can now move to item number 5, which is review, discussion, and possible action on proposed application edits to address COVID-19 and training modifications. Do we have something in, no, I don't, I'm wondering if we have a draft application.
Yeah, Kathy, I looked on the portal just now and I thought I saw this material before, but I'm not seeing it now.
Actually, I think I forgot to prepare it.
Okay.
I hate to say that, but I didn't even remember this. I was so focused on the application.
Okay, so why don't, I think this might be a good one, if I may suggest this, to just move, could we have it as a quick discussion item at the full board, even though, you know, we have behavior analysts and public members. I know it will be of use to the behavior analysts as well. Could we do it then, or do you prefer to wait till the next
I can hear
I'd love to have Dr. Meyer's input and, you know, other members who served on this application review committee.
I can have that ready, sure.
Okay. Okay. And then number six is the review discussion and possible action on application review tools. I want to thank Ms. Folks and Ms. Pakkanen for their work on preparing these tools. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Caterina, did the tools work for you?
It was very good. I didn't know if we needed anything with the, you know, supervision hours or to make sure that they have a pre-internship training form, because we see it listed as the postdoc training form, but if they're not using a postdoc, they also need a training form for the pre-internship. So those were just two, you know, if they needed a little more detail on those two.
Mm-hmm. There's so many details in there that, you know, it just serves as a checklist. And if you read through the actual what we listed on the form, if you look at the trying to keep it to a page,
right?
So it says there, supervised pre-internship, no pre-internship is waived, not required, but they may use up to 1500 hours and check for training plan. So the bigger form has all the details. So here, you know, when you're looking for pre-internship, you're looking for the training plan. You're looking for the breakdown of hours that match 1:10 for supervision, 25% direct hours. So we could create more columns, but then it makes it a very long form. There's a checklist, and, you know, that's where I write notes like, oh, supervision is missing, or, you know.
Right.
So it depends if you really want it to be. Because remember, you have more than one pre-internship, so it can, you know, we'd have to create like three lines per form, and, you know, sometimes people submit 4 and 5. So it's just there's a check mark for you to look for all those things, and then you can make notes if there's a problem, you know.
Okay.
That's what the short form is for. It's just kind of a tickler, you know. It reminds you, oh, this person is using pre-internship. I better check for this, 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 and this. And then you can use the long form, because the long form has it broken down, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Ms. Polk?
Yeah, that's fine. No, it's much better. That's why I really think it's much more helpful to have this form.
Yes. Okay.
And sometimes I noticed, I think another thing with the one of the applicants, maybe they didn't circle what they were going for, if they were going for.
Yeah, one person didn't.
Yeah.
Do that, and and, you know, it's not, you know, it's for our convenience, and but, you know, so I typically, it's not a statutory thing that they have to complete that item, because it's not required, but it helps us, because, you know, so.
And yeah, I'm happy to have this.
Okay, good. It's a tool to help us in the process, so.
Yes.
And if you see any suggestions, then maybe, you know, be sure to bring it up in future meetings as well.
So. Okay.
Yes, and Madam Chair, if I may, I think that what I'm hearing you say is that these forms are, even though they may be sort of, you know, tinkered with over the coming months and years potentially, these are now ready for being posted on the portal with each ARC meeting so that they're readily available for ARC members to start using.
Yes, that is correct.
Great. So Ms. Folks can do that.
Yeah, so thank you, Dr. Caterina, for, you know, suggesting this and moving us along. We should have done this a long time ago.
But, thank you.
Mm-hmm, so, okay. So that concludes item 6. Item 7, new agenda items for future meetings. I don't have any at the moment, Dr. Caterina.
No.
Okay. I just want to thank staff members for putting all the materials together and for, you know, getting us ready. This was a long agenda. Kathy, I know you're relieved to get you're getting caught up. I'm sure there's lots of applications still coming your way.
There are a lot more. I'm starting to get caught up. Transitioning back to paper makes it so much easier and faster.
So thank you. We appreciate all the work that goes into getting this ready.
I can see it's a lot of work. Yes, thank you, Kim.
And I think if we have nothing else, and thank you, Ms. Galvin, for being here. This was a pretty straightforward group. So,
Madam Chair, you know, something just occurred to me. Can I just make a comment? I think it's what it may amount to is you may on the next agenda see a sample of what the a PLUS application would look like. If you remember, PLUS is the program instituted by ASPPB, which allows applicants for licensure to apply essentially through their portal. ASPPB performs the verification, primary source verification, so forth, authenticates the documents, and then provides that application file, if you will, to the jurisdictions using PLUS. What we want before we fully commit, we want at least this committee to review what that application output looks like to evaluate whether it sufficiently meets your needs. So we're hoping that another state will share that output with us, a sample, so you can review it and react to it.
Okay, so maybe we can add it as an agenda item for the future meeting.
Yes, I'd like to bring that to you in February.
Okay.
And then I did notice that, you know how we talked about the jurisprudence tests? I did notice that California has one, Colorado has one. A lot of our surrounding states do have them. So we were hoping also to see what they do, or maybe to talk with them to see if they find it useful or if it's helpful to have that.
Yes, Madam Chair, Dr. Catarino, next week you're going to review a proposal for from a prospective vendor that we could consider partnering with for purposes of developing. I'm calling it a jurisprudence learning tool because of the reactions that we tend to hear relative to exam or assessment and so forth. And because I think the board's objective is focused on learning and information retention, I think this proposal will effectively covers a lot of those things you've been talking about.
Okay, so we'll be talking about that. That's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Because go ahead.
I'm saying no, I don't have anything else unless you do, Dr. Miller.
No. So we're good. So we can move to item number 8, which is adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Take care.